Welcome to Your Church and the Law, a special edition of the Minister's Friend podcast with John Kimball and our guest, David Bedanza. The Minister's Friend is a podcast helping pastors and other church leaders navigate the challenges of leading the flock. This special series of 12 podcast episodes is offered to help you and your congregation learn about and to think through some really critical legal considerations facing churches in today's America. Our guest is David Bedanza, a pastor and attorney in Massachusetts who specializes in church law. Welcome to Episode 11 of Your Church and the Law. We began this special series talking about the incorporation of a local church. But what happens when a congregation is no longer sustainable? Does your church's constitution have a dissolution clause? If not, you'll really want to pay attention to this segment of my interview with pastor and attorney Dave Bedanza. We talk about some important considerations all churches must face, including issues that might arise with trust funds. So, a few months ago, you helped out one of our congregations with something that has been a concern of mine for many years for many congregations, and that's dissolution. I think you're aware that when I took my current position with our denomination, one of the things that I did early on was to do a survey of several things just to kind of get a lay of the land of our churches, and found out that a large percentage, and I don't remember what the number is now, but a large percentage of our churches did not have a dissolution clause in their constitution. Which I understand, correct me if I'm wrong on that, but if you don't, you are not legal with the IRS as a tax-exempt organization. Is that correct?
So first of all, with regard to, and this is a good point to make, I think we didn't make it earlier, but we should, that a church is automatically tax-exempt. And when the IRS passes upon a tax-exempt application of a church, mm-hmm. believe it or not, you know what it's doing? It's making sure you're a real church.
Okay, well,
Not some family that wants to gain some government benefits. But a tax-exempt organization, by law, has to have a dissolution clause. That dissolution clause specifies to whom the assets of the church go to should the church dissolve.
Mm-hmm.
And that other organization has to be a 501c3 tax-exempt organization. It cannot be a profit-based organization.
Mm-hmm. Or the people of the church.
Or the people of the church, right? Because nobody owns the church.
That's right. We've brought this up before, but it really is an issue. People really think that.
That's very important to do. And if you're getting to the point where you think you're going to dissolve, a dissolution clause is important for a church, because a lot of times what happens is the board of that church may be becoming, by a process, less kingdom-oriented.
Mm.
And more willing to take assets which were once devoted to the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and use them for, you know, some other nice thing, like maybe one of my pet peeves, blessing dogs. Nothing wrong with dogs. I used to have one. But what I'm saying is, if you're dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the most important thing in the world, then although animals are nice and they're important, they're not as important as souls.
Yeah.
And so when the board starts to morph and becomes, say, liberal or confused, what we don't want to see is what was devoted to Christ is now at danger of not becoming devoted to Christ.
Yes.
And so that dissolution clause should be in there from the beginning.
Yes.
I mean, we every time we start a church, we we never think about its demise. We have such optimism, but we should plan for it and not say, may it never happen. May it perpetuate to the second coming.
Amen.
But if it does, be prepared.
Yeah.
You know?
And in that clause, you can also specify not only that it's 501c3, which is what the law requires, but that it shares the same mission conviction as the church. I mean, you can be pretty specific in what that dissolution clause requires.
Indeed, absolutely. And you can even specify, you know, a denomination or another church, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Very important. And with that, I have a question for those kind of older churches, and that is, have you seen your deed lately?
Oh my.
Especially for the older churches, you know, their deed may be tucked away somewhere in a file cabinet in a dead lawyer's office that, you know, or at least it's recorded somewhere at the registry of deeds. So no wonder, no problem there. But sometimes these deeds are in a name that's different than the church.
Really?
So it's not a bad thing in doing a kind of routine legal examination to take a look and see, hey, does the name of the church, does it match the name on the deed?
Hmm.
You know, is it in some kind of a previous organization or that kind of thing?
Yeah, my first church that I pastored was 250 some odd years old. And so that is an important question for an organization. Right now, the church I'm pastoring doesn't own property, so it's not an issue for us at the moment, but one day.
My favorite thing, and this is kind of goes along with those old churches. My favorite anecdote is I had this church client and they had a food ministry. They were getting food, distributing it each week from a major local food supplier that was connected to a national organization. And the church was incorporated in the late 1800s. What happened was the large organization, the national organization, said, we want the 501c3 tax-exempt recognition letter from each one of our food banks. And the church called me up and they said, can you get us our letter? And I said, you don't have a letter. I said, why? I said, because you were organized before they were income taxes.
That's right.
You know, and I think income taxes came in, I always get this wrong.
It was after World War II, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 1916. And the church, of course, was organized in the late 1800s.
Yeah.
And so the national organization cut them off and said, well, we can't do that. And so all these people were locally looking for their food, and it wasn't going to happen. We had to do the quickest tax-exempt recognition application known to man. And
oh, wow.
We had an expedited service that the IRS offers. Lord knows if it's still going today with what's going on now, but we got it done so quickly. But, you know, some of these things through the passage of time become very obscured, you know. And so a deed is one of them. The other issue, too, with dissolution is the consideration of side prey of trust funds. Many old churches have trust funds that are, you know, still in these accounts, not being used for any particular purpose, and may not be able to be used for any particular purpose because they don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
And so the doctrine of side prey allows sometimes with court assistance, sometimes without, allows someone who is a trustee of funds to use them as nearly as the grantor intended, and determining that intent sometimes is, you know, an educated guess. But we have that phenomenon going on as well. And it's important, I think, to, you know, get this money that's being held in use in the kingdom of God.
Yeah. Now, with the church that you've helped us with most recently in our denomination, you put together a dissolution resolution of sorts. Is that something that is the church needs to be thinking through, or is that just does that happen just at the time of dissolution itself?
Well, I think what a church needs to do, any church that doesn't have one, honestly, is to amend its bylaws and insert a dissolution clause into their bylaws.
Thanks for joining us for this special episode in the series, Your Church and the Law, from the Minister's Friend podcast. We hope it was a blessing to you. There are 12 topical episodes in this special series. Be sure to listen to the others. They're available on all the major podcast platforms. The content of this podcast is for informational purposes only. It is not legal advice. If you have questions concerning how these topics relate to you and your congregation, please see an attorney who is licensed to practice law in your state. Thanks again for joining us. May God bless you and your church family with great fruit for His kingdom.